This is News Radio 560 KPQ. Our time is 8:13. State Senator Brad Hawkins is on the line with us as official business is about to begin in Olympia. Welcome to KPQ once again, State Senator.
Thank you, Michael and Kevin. Great to be with you.
Yeah, the new legislative session begins on Monday. It's one of the lengthier ones. Let's go ahead and do a. What are some of the things that you are looking forward to, or what are some of the big issues for the upcoming legislative session?
Well, there's a lot of issues for the upcoming session. I'm afraid that I might be playing a bit of defense for the 12th district. As you may know, the Democratic majorities have expanded significantly with the recent elections this past November. We have 49 members in the state Senate, and of the 49 members, we have 28 Democrat and 21 Republican. So the political pendulum has swung over quite a bit. The majorities have expanded similarly in the House of Representatives, and the governor has proposed a number of tax increases, both with a new capital gains income tax and expanded business and occupation tax increases on a lot of service providers. So I have a lot of concerns for those, you know, as far as what that would mean for our state economy and for the people of the 12th district. And so I'll be pushing back hard on those. But, you know, with the majorities as they are, it'll be really interesting to see how bipartisan my colleagues on the other side of the aisle choose to be, because I don't necessarily think they have to be bipartisan. But it would certainly be better for the state if we develop policies and budgets that reflect all interests across the state.
And besides those tax matters, is there anything else that you feel that you're going to have to vote against, or any other project that you might want to support?
Well, I'm going to have to really kind of feel things out. You know, I think the first few weeks will give a bit of an indication. I've been accustomed to working in a very bipartisan manner, and that's always, as I said, best. But that, again, has been because either the Senate has been in a Republican majority and we've had a divided government that has forced a bipartisanship, or the majorities have been close enough and narrow enough that those that are proposing some of these things really have to work with both sides in order to advance them. I haven't really been in a scenario in the 6 years that I've served in Olympia of having this much disparity between the two political parties. And most issues, as you all know and the listeners know, aren't specific to a political party, but there are different philosophical opinions and things like that. And oftentimes, you know, we need to make sure we advocate for what's in the best interest of the people in central and eastern Washington. And sometimes, unfortunately, that differs in the priorities from the folks in western Washington. So we're just going to have to kind of feel things out over the next few years or the next few weeks and kind of get a sense of where things are going. I certainly have some priorities for our district that I look forward to working with, things that I've heard through or listening to or recently, and things that I've heard through my outreach this fall with constituents and stakeholders here. So I'll be advancing those interests as best I can over in Olympia.
What are some of those interests that you're trying to get for the 12th district?
Well, one of the big ones, for example, I'm working closely with the county commissioners in Douglas County, the Port of Douglas County, and the Douglas County Sewer District on a capital budget request related to what's called the Wenatchee Landing Sewer Extension. There's a whole plan development in the Douglas County side, sort of, you know, north of East Wenatchee, but between East Wenatchee and the old station, Otobastion Bridge. And there's a lot of opportunities there for some really responsible planned development that would be good in terms of economic development and good for our housing needs and things like that. So that the folks in Douglas County, with the leadership of Dan Sutton and the county commissioners and folks in the sewer district, they've actually come together to make a request of $2 million to the state. But they've also been willing to put up a $2 million match. So this is an example of a dollar-for-dollar funding request, local state partnership. So I'm hopeful that we might be able to make some traction there and getting some funding secured for that important project. And I will have, I think, more information to share in the weeks ahead once we start releasing the budgets. We have three budgets to advance this session for the whole two-year period, and it's the operating budget, the transportation budget, and the capital budget. So those are, you know, some interests particular to our area, but also we have some tax pressure, as I mentioned, both with the governor's proposed capital gains tax and the B&O tax increases, but also some push to expand the local levies that I feel might not protect the property owners here. So I'm going to be going over there with an interest in, you know, protecting our economy and protecting our taxpayers.
I know education has been a conversation amongst the legislature for so long now that it's hard to believe that you still have it, but it feels like it is going to be a big part of this year's session considering how the funding model changed. What do you see? I know that your 12th District colleague, Mike Steele, on the House side is going to be on the House Education Committee. What do you see in terms of the importance of education during this session?
Well, it's very important, no doubt about it. I'm thankful that Representative Steele will be serving as the House Education Committee ranking member. I'll actually be serving as the Senate Education Committee's ranking member. So we have sort of similar roles in both chambers with regards to education for this session. I'm very proud of the investments that the legislature has made over the past 6 years to significantly fund education more, to meet the paramount duty of the state, which was also sort of pressured upon us by a 2012 state Supreme Court decision known as the McCleary decision. We've made a lot of improvements for education. There is some fine-tuning that we'll need to do, but I don't want us to forget the significant investments we've made over the past 6 years, multi-billions of dollars additional funding towards education. Education spending in our state now represents and comprises over 51%, over half of the nearly $50 billion two-year operating budget. So education will always be a huge topic of conversation in the legislature because education is significantly a role that the state government plays and funds. So with that much of the budget going towards K-12 education, there will always be important conversations. And there will be some fine-tuning that will need to take place for the funding model. Again, I want to protect property owners. What we did recently was we increased funding at the state level for K-12 education, but we correspondingly reduced and capped the local voter levies, and I'd like to preserve those reforms, although some of my colleagues might think differently. So there'll be some changes there. I think there could be more that we could do for special education, for our school districts and other things. So, we'll be looking at all those things, including health care for school district employees and some of the reforms that we've proposed to improve health care for school district employees.
Are you going to be introducing some of this legislation yourself?
No, the reforms to the school employees benefit board, the health care proposal for school employees, that was already approved. It'll just be a matter of how we decide to go about making adjustments to that. I don't anticipate sponsoring that legislation myself, but it will be something that we discuss closely in the Senate Education Committee. And I've discussed issues already with the chair of the Senate Education Committee, Lisa Wellman. She represents the Mercer Island area, and she got elected to the state Senate the same year I did. And so we have a good working relationship. And for me, as the ranking member on the Education Committee, I'll be working closely with the chair on issues. But I do believe that a lot of the proposals will be sponsored by the majority party. And frankly, for me, with the majorities as expanded as they are, all of us need to be very cautious, actually, as to what we sponsor, because legislation changes throughout the process. You know, once a bill is introduced, it can be amended in committee and take on a whole life of its own, and once it comes out of the Senate or the House floor, it could look totally different, be totally changed and rearranged. But people's sponsorship of the bill is still on that bill, and that doesn't change. So I'm a little cognizant and kind of going in with open eyes as to you know, how things can change, and not complete certainty as, you know, how this legislative session will, you know, will transpire. I'm a little reluctant to put my name on some of the proposals that we're beginning to see.
And then we'll let you go with, if you could just give us a quick answer from a question from Brian, who asked, is there anything that can be done about affordable housing, a very common topic around our area?
Yeah, absolutely. Affordable housing, mental health, you know, there are other very important state priorities other than just education. And there are some things we can do. I think there's some opportunities to do something creative for tax incentives or deferring sales tax for construction that comes in at a certain price point to kind of reduce and buy down the cost of home construction so that builders in the private sector can build these homes more affordably given all the regulations we have. I do think we should look at streamlining some of the regulations. A one-size-fits-all policy doesn't work, you know, in the whole entire state, although making some of those adjustments might be an uphill battle for the next 2 years. But I also think there are some appropriate programs that government can do in terms of low-income housing and affordable housing. But my preference would be to try to encourage the private sector to take care of these needs and help by reducing their costs and some of their regulations. So we're certainly focused on that, and it's not just an issue in North Central Washington. Affordable housing is an issue across the state. We have a great state and a great place to live, and there's a lot of demand to live here in North Central Washington, but we just need to make sure that people who want to live here can afford to live here. And most importantly, the people who are providing the essential services in these communities can afford to live in those communities. So definitely affordable housing is an issue that we're going to be focused on this session.
Senator Hawkins, thank you so much for joining us. We look forward to our every week conversation Thursday mornings at this time. Have a good weekend and a safe trip over to Olympia, and enjoy your time.
Thank you guys so much. I do look forward to connecting with you and your listeners each week, and I very much appreciate it.